Welcome to Thrilling Tales of Adventure. I'm Mardell, and it's time for another exciting chapter in Black Bartlemy's Treasure by Jeffrey Farnall. Chapter 14, How I Came Aboard the Faithful Friend. We followed a roundabout course, now across broad meadows, now treading green cart tracks, now climbing some grassy upland, anon plunging into the shadow of lonely wood or coppice, until the moon was down, until there was a glimmer of dawn with low-lying mist, rimming every grassy hollow, and creeping phantom-like in leafy boscages, until in the east was a glory, warming the gray mist to pink and amber and gold, and the sun uprising darted his level beams athwart our way, and it was day. And now from the coppice and hedgerow, near and far, was stir and flutter, a whistling and a piping that rose ever louder and swelled to a trilling ecstasy of gladness.
"Hark to 'em, old pal, hark to 'em," quoth Godby, lifting head to watch a lark that soared aloft. "Here's music, Martin. Here's cure for the megrims, hope for the downcast, and promise of joys to come. Oh, hark to 'em."
All the day Penfeather had led us on by lonely ways, never seeming to weary, and never at a loss, silent for the most part, as one in profound thought, and I speaking little, as is my wont. But Godby talked and sang and laughed for the three of us. It was as we sat outside a little alehouse, snugged mid trees, eating of bread and cheese, that Penfeather turned suddenly and gripped my arm.
"Martin," says he, "'twill be a plaguey business, carrying women aboard ship, along of these lambs of mine. There's scarce a rogue but cheats the gallows with his every breath."
"Why then tell her so, Adam, plain and to the point."
"'Twould be vain breath, Martin, I know her too well.
And she is a Brandon."
"A curse on the name," says I, whereby Godby choked into his ale, stared in surprise, and would fain have questioned me, but, meeting my eye, spake no word.
"Do you know aught of navigation, Martin?" says Adam suddenly.
"No whit, Adam, but I'll handle a boat with any man."
"Ha," says he, and sat there pinching his chin, until our hunger being appeased, and the ale all drank, we fared on again. So we tramped, and though our road was long, I will here make short work of it, and say that at last we came very hot and dusty into the village of Lewisham, where we would fain have baited a while at the Lion and Lamb, a fair inn. But this Adam would by no means permit. So, leaving the village, we presently turned aside from the main road into a lane very pleasantly shaded by tall trees and bloomy hedgerows, the which, as I do think, is called Mill Lane. In a while we reached a narrow track, down which Adam turned, and now, as we went, I was aware of a strange sound, a confused hubbub growing ever louder, until deep amid the green we espied a lonely tavern, before which stood a short, stout man who alternately wrung his hands in lamentation, mopped at his bloody pate, and stamped and swore mighty vehement, in the midst of which, chancing to behold Penfeather, he uttered joyful shout and came running.
"Master Penfeather," cried he, "oh, Master Penfeather, here's fine doings, love my eyes. Here's your rogues a fighting and a murdering of each other, which is no great matter, but here's them a wrecking of my house, which is great matter, and here's them as broke my head with one of my own pottle pots, which is greater matter. Now here's me, Durson, set of it out of the place, and my wife and maids all of a swoon. Oh, Master Penfeather, here's doings, love my limbs."
"Ah," says Penfeather, "fighting are they, Jerry?
"By devils, Captain! You were rogues, and the rogues as my Lord Darren listed and brought here yesterday. Love my liver! Look at yon!" As he spoke was a crash of splintered glass, and a broken chair hurtled through the wide lattice.
"So," says Adam, and striding towards the inn, I saw a pistol in his hand. Following hard on his heels, I entered the inn with him, and so to the scene of the riot. A long, low room, full of swirling dust, and amid this choking cloud, a huddle of men who fought and struggled fiercely, roaring blasphemy and curses. Two or three lay twisted among the overturned chairs and tables. Others had crawled into corners to look at their hurts, while to and fro the battle raged the fiercer. Leaning in the doorway, Penfeather surveyed the combatants with his quick, keen glance, and then the hubbub was drowned by the roar of his long pistol. The thunderous report seemed to stun the combatants to silence, who, falling apart, turned one and all to glare at the intruder. And in this moment of comparative silence, while all men panted and stared, from Penfeather's grim lips there burst a string of blistering sea oaths, such as even I had scarce heard till now. For a long minute he reviled them, the smoke curling from his pistol, his black brows knit across glittering eyes, his thin nostrils a-quiver, the scar glowing on his pallid cheek, his face indeed so changed and evil that I scarce knew him.
"You filthy scum, you lousy sons of dogs!" he ended. "Ah, will you fight again my orders, then? Mutiny, is it?
And ho a plague are you, and be cursed to ye!" panted a great fellow, flourishing a broken chair leg threateningly, and scowling in murderous fashion.
"Hell tell ye! There, behind ye, fool!"
snarled Penfeather, pointing a sinewy finger. The big man turned. Penfeather sprang with uplifted pistol and smote him, stunned and bleeding, to the floor. Then, bestriding the prostrate carcass, fronted the rest with head viciously outthrust.
"And who's next? Come," says he softly, scowling from one to the other of the shrinking company.
"You, Amos Penarth, and you, Richard Farnaby, aye, and half a dozen others of you. You sailed with me ere now. You know when I say a thing, I mean it. And you'd fight, would ye? My last words to you, being see to it, there be no quarreling or riot."
"Why, Captain," says one, "'tis all along of these new listed rogues."
"Aye, master," says another, "and that's gospel true. There ain't a right sailor man among 'em."
"Then we'll learn 'em to be," says Penfeather.
"Stand forward by the new men. Show a leg and bustle, you dogs."
Scowling and muttering, some 12 unlovely fellows obeyed.
"Aye, faith," says Penfeather, looking them over. "Here's fine stuff for the gallows. And where's the rest of 'em?"
"Gone aboard this morning along a Toby Hud, the bo'sun."
"See here, my bright lads," quoth Penfeather, eyeing each scowling face in turn.
"Learn this.
When you come aboard my ship and I say to one of ye, do this or do that, he does it, do you see? Or up to the yardarm he swings by his thumbs or his neck as occasion warrants. Do you get me, my bully roarers?"
Not a man of them spake a word, but all stood shifting uneasily beneath Penfeather's quick, bright eye, shuffling their feet and casting furtive glances on their fellows.
"Now, as to this lump of roguery," says Penfeather, spurning the still unconscious man with his foot, "have him to the yard, heave a bucket of water over him. As to you, Farnaby, muster the hands, stand by to go aboard in half an hour, every unhung rascal."
Without, we came on the misfortunate landlord, still in the deeps of gloom, but upon Adam's assurance that all damages should be made good, he brought us up a pair of stairs to a fair chamber, and there served us a most excellent meal. Scarce had we risen from table, then comes the man Penarth a-knocking, cap in hand, to say the men stood ready to go aboard. We found some score fellows drawn up before the inn, and a desperate lot of cutthroats they looked, what with their hurts and general hangdog air, as they stood there in the light of a rising moon. Having looked them over, each and every, Penfather spat, and setting them in Godby's charge, ordered them to go on before. "Well, Martin," says he as we followed together, "and how think ye of my lambs?" "Call them raging tigers, rather." "Nay," says he, "tigers be cleanly creatures, I've heard." "God's name, Adam, why truck with such ill rogues? Surely there be many honest mariners to be had." "Why, as to that, Martin, good men be scarce and ever hard to come by. Moreover, these scum are a means to an end, do you see?" "How so?" "And just that, Martin," says he, glancing at me in his furtive manner, "a means to an end." "What end?" "Ah, who may tell, Martin," he sighed, shaking his head. Now, when I would have questioned him further, he put me off with thus side answers, until we were come to the water side, which is called Deptford Creek. Here, having seen the others safe embarked, we took boat also, and were soon rowing between the huge bulk of ships, where dim lights burned, and whence came ever and anon the sound of voices, the rattle of a hawser, a snatch of song and the like, as we paddled betwixt the vast hulls. Presently we were beneath the towering stern of a great ship, and glancing up at this lofty structure, brave with carved work and gilding, I read the name, The Faithful Friend. At a word from Adam, the oars were unshipped, and we glided along aside her high curving side, where hung a ladder, up which I followed Adam forthwith. She was a great ship, as I say, of some 200 tons at least, with a high forecastle and lofty stern, though I saw little else ere, at a sign from Adam I followed him down the after gangway, where after taking a flickering lanthorn that hung from a deck beam, he led me atwixt a clutter of stores not yet stowed, past the grim shapes of great ordnance, and so down and down to a noisome place beneath the orlop. "'Tis not over sweet, Martin," says he, "but then bilge water never is. You'll mind, but you'll grow used to it in time. Unless instead of swallowing this holy reek, shipmate, you'll swallow your pride and list as master's mate." "I've no knowledge of navigation," says I. "But I've enough for the two of us, Martin. 'Tis a comrade at my back I need. What's the word?" "No," says I, mighty short. "As you will, shipmate," he sighed, "as you will. Pride and bilge water go well together." Which said, he brought me to a dark, unlovely hole abaft the mizzen. "'Tis none too clean, Martin," says he, casting the light round the dingy place. "But that shall be remedied, and Godby shall bring ye bedding and the like, so, although 'tis plaguy dark and with rats aplenty still, despite the stench you'll lie snug as your pride will permit of. As for me, shipmate, I shall scarce close an eye till we be clear of the downs, so 'tis a careful man I shall be this next 2 days, hi-ho. So good night, Martin, I'll send Godby below with all you lack." Saying which, Penfeather turned, and groping his way into the darkness, left me scowling at the flickering lanthorn. Please join me next week for another exciting chapter of Black Bartlemy's Treasure on Thrilling Tales of Adventure.